You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
When we talk about construction projects, we talk about storms, we talk about this time of year to be on the lookout for scammers, for fraudsters, and we have no relation here. He's not a fraudster. Alex Ward is with us, AARP state president for Montana. And good to see you, Al. How you been?
Good to see you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, we're kind of getting over this. I think we've all been over the whole COVID-19 thing, but we're all still taking precautions, you know, and things like that. But more and more people are getting out. And I'm seeing a lot of work out there, aren't you?
Yeah. I actually took my first week-long trip to Washington last week. I feel pretty safe doing that.
Yeah, me too. Glad to hear it. Glad to see you back in the studio. Marcus Myers with this, a guest that you've lined up here, compliance specialist with the Office of Consumer Protection. That's OCP within the DOJ, Department of Justice. They do a ton of good things. Marcus, how you doing, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Alex, why don't you introduce a little bit more about Marcus? You work with Marcus. He's with the Office of Consumer Protection, president of AARP Montana. You guys do an awful lot of stuff with OCP.
Well, prior to COVID-19, Marcus was one of our regular guests on the events that we did. We did them with Office of Consumer Protection, Federal Trade Commission, and various other people. To try and get the word out to people like we're doing on this radio show about things that they could do to avoid losing money. And Marcus has been one of our prime candidates on our panels. He's definitely been involved with consumer protection for quite a while.
Marcus, let's start off with what we're talking about here. The main thing today being this time of year, we may see some thunderstorm damage, but also in general, there's a lot of activity regarding construction. And I think I want to have you talk about the difference between, there's obviously most of the companies out there are good, but there are going to be some companies that are just out there to scam people. And there was a story recently out of Kalispell where a company, they've been indicted, but a guy named Craig Mark Draper was indicted for charges, and there were people that were just bilked out of their life savings, essentially. Let's start there with how serious the problem can be in Montana.
Oh, this problem can be very, very serious because you have projects that can range from a few thousand dollars to multiple thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the variety of where the scammer can take these complaints is unreal. I mean, the amount of money that can be lost for consumers, it can be life-changing, and it can really be challenging to move forward after that money has been lost to these scammers.
Yeah, let me just interject this, and this came from one of the victims here, noted in this article recently out of the Daily Interlake in Kalispell. Probably it was Flathead Beacon, I believe. Teresa Crosby, and this was her quote, "This was our retirement home." And there's more to this story, obviously, but this was her quote. "This was our retirement home, but we just can't afford it. So at 59 years old, I'm going to have to work until the day I die to pay for all of this. If we had not been scammed by him and this person indicted, we would be doing okay." It's very sad. I think that wraps it up, Alex, in a way when we talk about the victims. How deep a cut fraud can be.
You know, that's one thing that we've talked about before on this Fraud Watch Friday show, is people don't realize how serious fraud can be to the victims. If they lose a big portion of their nest egg, it changes their quality of life for the rest of their life. And sometimes in such a meaningful way that they really sometimes even get sick and die as a result.
Marcus, the problem can be defined in a lot of different ways, but I still want to, before we do that, talk about that impact on our economy, that impact, as Alex is saying. Have we seen an increase in these types of frauds? If so, why? Or are they decreasing? And what have we done on that end to help that along?
I would say, yeah, over the years, I mean, we stay pretty steady with our complaints against contractors, a little over 100 complaints a year. And it varies from how many of those are flat-out scams. Last year, we didn't see as many as of the drive-by pavers and roofers because of COVID-19, and you didn't see a lot of like door-to-door sales. But in years past, we definitely have seen a significant number of storm chasers or the drive-by pavers. And really, the most important thing to do is for people to report that when they see somebody that doesn't have, they're in an unmarked car, they don't have much information about their business, they're pulling up to your doorstep using high-pressure sales, that you report that to law enforcement, to the Office of Consumer Protection, and to the Department of Labor, because with those three agencies, we can try to put a stop to what's going on.
What's the difference, Marcus, between, you know, contractors who may have miscommunicated a job versus these scammers?
I mean, oftentimes, so we know that there's issues sometimes with poor craftsmanship or miscommunication with what people want done. We can definitely try to help with those types of complaints and try to get those resolved. And typically, you know, if they're a legitimate contractor and they've got a reputable business, they're willing to work with us. The ones that we're really concerned about is where they've taken these either like the full amount up front or half up front and then take that money and then you never hear from them. And there's always an excuse of why they haven't been doing anything.
Al,
one of the things that's that we always talk about when we talk about any kind of contractor fraud is that you search for a contractor like you search for other people that are professional that you're going to hire. You get references. You make sure that you check on the fact that the business is registered with the Department of Labor as far as contractors are concerned. You make sure that they have the proper business licenses. One of the things that's really, and I worked with this a lot when I was with the police department, and after that when I had a private business, because I was working with planning departments. Planning codes actually require licenses and various other kinds of things when you're building something. And you want to make sure that all those things are in order, because at least in the places that I was working, they would come out and slap a cease and desist order on your house in the middle of the construction if they didn't have the right paperwork. You also want to make sure that the people have insurance. If somebody gets injured on the job, they need to have something that will help them, take care of whatever the incident was. So there's an awful lot of things that you have to do that's we consider due diligence in hiring somebody that you're going to pay that much money to. I've been lucky because my wife has had a contractor that's worked for her for over 20 years. And we've had a whole lot of things done, and they were all done exactly the way he said. But we also always had a written contract about what he was going to do and when it was going to be done, when the money was going to be paid, all that sort of thing.
Al Ward, President, Montana AARP. Also, Marcus Meyer is with us, compliance specialist with the Office of Consumer Protection. That's within the Department of Justice. And Marcus, I kind of want to go off that a little bit because in referencing this story out of Kalispell with indictments filed, this contractor had falsified insurance information, went as far as to try to legitimize himself in this sort of fashion. And I'm thinking now, too, because if you try to go out and get a contractor, a legitimate contractor, as Al had said, somebody who had been working for you for 10 years, they're pretty booked up this time of year. And especially now with a lot of government money floating around out there, they're going. You may need to go and find a contractor you haven't worked with before to get some jobs done. What's the danger signs for some of that stuff?
Things to look out for is if they're not going to provide a written contract, so they won't put anything in writing. They want to start immediately. If their bids are significantly lower than other bids that you've got from other people, there's no sort of references. They won't give you any sort of references. Those are major signs. One thing that a consumer can do for the reference check is they can contact our office, the Office of Consumer Protection. We can let them know if we have any complaints on file against them. Additionally, they can go to the FTC and see if there was a complaint filed with the FTC and also with the Better Business Bureau. And then additionally, just reading reviews. I mean, consumers are really good about if they've had a bad experience, they'll typically put those reviews out online. So those are good ways that they can check to see what other people have had done.
The other thing that is definitely a warning sign is somebody that stops by and knocks on your door and says that they have leftover materials for a job and that they can do it for you on the cheap. The question is, how come they have leftover materials? Usually the people who pay for the job are the ones that own the materials. So how does that work?
I mean, those are good questions. I want to come on back, Marcus and Al Ward, and talk about why we are hesitant to ask those questions. Maybe it's just because we're very trusting, but there is more and more technology available. As you had said, there's a lot of resources, Marcus, the Office of OCP. I can give that to you right now. It's within the Department of Justice, so DOJMT.gov. Or if you just go to any browser and just search Office of Consumer Protection, you'll come up with that. Same thing for AARP.org /Fraud Watch Network. They've got a huge resource available to you to avoid these sorts of things. But we'll come on back and talk more about home repair scams. And then we'll add also disaster fraud here today on Voices of Montana. I saw this somewhere. As a matter of fact, I think I read it for Fraud Watch Friday. According to the FTC, fraud cases in Montana rose by 43% last year. Al Ward is with us here. Alex, Al Ward, AARP State President for Montana. Marcus Meyer is with us as well, compliance specialist with the Office of Consumer Protection, as it's Fraud Watch Friday. That, for me, Al, is a remarkable statistic.
Well, one of the things that I thought was really interesting from the FTC's report was that in 2019, fraud losses in Montana were reported, and you have to remember that because a lot of fraud losses are not reported.
Yeah.
But the amount that was reported was $3.6 million. In 2020, that went to $5.6 million.
That is a lot of lost money. Marcus Meyer, why don't we ask the important questions? Why don't we report this stuff?
Oftentimes when you're speaking to the scammer, they're really good at what they do. They've trained themselves on how to lead conversations and use high-pressure sales tactics to get people to either agree to contracts or make payments over the phone or in person if they show up at their doorstep. And the person oftentimes doesn't realize that they're being scammed until after they're gone. And so then you run into where they may be embarrassed of what has happened to them, or they may not even realize that they've been scammed out of their money.
How do we get over that? I mean, education has helped, I believe.
Yeah, education is key as far as that's what we work on and emphasize, and through our work just with our office and with AARP and other state agencies, by informing consumers on what resources are available to them and how they can become a well-informed consumer before making those purchases. And the main thing is to do their due diligence before they're going to hire a contractor, that they've checked to see if there are any complaints against that business. As I mentioned, looking for references. Al mentioned that to make sure that they're licensed with the state, so they have their proper licensing with the Department of Labor, and that they're licensed as a business with the Secretary of State, and most importantly that the contract is in writing. And so anything that's going to be done, if there's any sort of modification, that they've made an amendment to that contract and that's in writing, and that the payment schedule is in writing as well.
I don't do contracts in writing, Al. I mean, I guess that should be standard procedure. But do folks really go to that level?
You know, we've had, like I said, B and I have had five different things happen in the last 4 or 5 years, and every one of them has had a written contract, and it had all of the information in it that we needed to have. You know, the other thing that was important about it is that B has worked with these people for a long time. So she has that background as well.
But
we
wife.
Still had a written contract.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I think in talking about why people fall, you know, con is a term that we use loosely, and sometimes we think it, you know, relates to being in jail. Actually, for con artist, what it stands for is confidence, because it started out as a confidence game. And what the con is really good at is getting you to tell them all the information that they can use against you in order to get you to actually tip over as far as what they're telling you. You know, getting to the point where you said, well, how can you say no to this? You just said that you wanted this and this and this and this.
I mean, that's a great point. And I feel like, you know, and Marcus, I'm an average Joe, and I'm careful about a lot of things, but I'm sort of a trusting sort as well. What does that say about what I, you know, using me as an example, may need to do to avoid being victim to fraud?
I really think that the best thing to do, and most people in Montana are very trustworthy people, so it's not a bad thing to be trusting, but
right.
It's just you want to verify that you can trust this person, and the main thing to do is really just to make sure you do your due diligence, and really to see if they have any complaints or if there's any open investigations into these individuals. And by contacting our office before you signing the contract or before doing business, that can eliminate some of the bad actors or falling for these scams. Now, that's not going to stop everything entirely, but to realize that if you have a bad experience with a contractor or that you think that you've been scammed, to get that report on file so we can start looking into that.
And I'm going to, after a break here, we got news headlines upcoming. I'm going to come back and give some of those numbers out and websites. And also, I'm just going to do, because there's a great list here, AARP's tip sheet for summer repair scams and disaster frauds. And we'll get to disaster frauds in a bit. But I am just going to, again, just speak the language and reiterate these words about warning signs. Be wary of contractors who... And then, you know, reminders about when hiring a contractor, do this. So I'll take a break and come on back, and we'll get that out here after Brian Bennett has headlines. All right, welcome back. It's Fraud Watch Friday. Tom Schultz alongside. We've got Al Ward in studio, AARP State President for Montana, Marcus Meyer on the phone, Carroll College Saint, and now with the Office of Consumer Protection, DOJ. MT.gov for more information there. I'm just going to give, again, reiterate some of these warning signs. Contractors who, and I hate to use the word contractor, Al and Marcus. I mean, these are not contractors. Contractors are legitimate businesses. These, I think, are just scamsters. Maybe they've done some contract work in the past, but so these fraudsters, they'll stop by and they say they happen to be in the neighborhood. That's not usually the case for good contractors. I know they're busy. this time of year. They're going to offer you, look at their bid. They're going to say things like, I've got surplus material. They're not going to give you a written estimate. They're going to use, as Al had mentioned, they're pretty slick talkers. So high-pressure sale tactics, they're going to arrive in vehicles that don't necessarily have the company name, address, and phone number on it. Although, you know, they can work through that as well, as we had just noted in that case out of Kalispell. And they're going to be able to start immediately. Here's the big thing. They want money up front. They want some cash, a large deposit. They're also going to pressure you into saying, you need to make a decision today because I got to move on, or things like that. Here's some of the also recommendations. Get at least 3 written bids. I have to admit, I don't do that. I will do a little research on the people I contact, but I'm not out there on every little job I need to get 3 written bids. So, I'm one of those in the crosshairs. Ensure the contractor is registered to do business in the state. It's mtcontractor.com for more information there. That's with the Montana Department of Labor. And then you just can't emphasize this enough. Avoid payments in advance. Anybody that says, I'll run down, I'll be here tomorrow, I need a check so I can buy materials.
One of the other things that's on here that we haven't mentioned, check with your insurance company that they're actually going to pay that construction person. Because they're also going to look into them.
Yeah, right. This is not, especially if you are getting insured repairs, roofing and siding. Any comments on that? We're going to move to disaster frauds because this time of year we're going to see floods and thunderstorms and people who are hit maybe with wildfires, and we want to help them out in certain ways. And there's just a whole new market of fraudsters and scamsters that are out there to get your money under the pretense that we're going to send it to these folks for help. That's upcoming. But anything else to add here, Marcus?
I think just most importantly that people are researching the projects that they want to have done. By researching, if you want to have, you're looking at having new asphalt or a new roof put on, oftentimes can avoid some of these things where they come to your doorstep and say, we have extra materials. If you're not looking to have that done right now, then it's not a good idea to go forward with that. And if you have done the research, then you kind of know what materials are needed to complete that project and the price of those materials.
Montana Department of Justice, Office of Consumer Protection, that's in our capital city, and you can just contact them. It's actually contactocp@mt.gov if you want to do it by email. I'm going to give you this phone number, too. It's 800-481-6896, and as Marcus had said, he works at that office. If you've got questions about somebody before you think about hiring them, they can provide those services as well. doj.mt.gov/consumer. And, of course, it's AARP Fraud Watch Network. We're back with more. Al Ward, Marcus Meyer here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Let's get back to the topic here. We were talking about home repair scams, and that kind of goes hand in hand with disaster frauds. Now, we could potentially be hit with hail. In fact, potentially, it almost happens all the time. We're almost guaranteed to be hit somewhere by hail. Not only that in Montana, but elsewhere across the country, we're always reaching out to try to help others. Marcus, what over the last 10 years have we seen when it comes to Americans being frauded or scammed by reaching out, trying to help these charity cases?
Yeah, so mostly in Montana, what we've seen with that is you'll see different charities that pop up after natural disasters, or fraudulent charities as well that will pop up after natural disasters, and then they'll start calling people and asking for donations over the phone. And the problem with that is when you just give that money over the phone and you haven't done any sort of research, one, you don't know how much of your donation is going towards a charitable cause, or two, if that's actually going to an actual charity. It could be going directly to a scammer. So it's really important that when you find out, to make sure that this is an actual charity that's that they are registered, and you can contact our office to see if they're registered within the state of Montana. And additionally, you can look at GuideStar.org to see if they are registered as a charity as well.
Yeah, the thing about disasters is that when something is bad enough, you know, people want to help the people who were victimized. And so from a scammer standpoint, if they can get on the phone early enough, they can get ahead of the legitimate charities and scoop up that money. So a lot of times the first couple of weeks after a disaster hits, scammers pick up more of the money than legitimate charities.
The fact that, have we seen them grow, Marcus? Are we attacking the problem like we need to be?
There's always one, nonprofits are, more and more nonprofits are registering in the state of Montana to do business, and they're doing great things to help out different communities. But with that, you also have fraudulent nonprofits, such as nonprofits that they're claiming to be with like the first responders or different things like that, or helping with like a natural disaster that has happened. And so the main thing that we want people to do is, as Al mentioned, they start calling right away, and sometimes we don't even know who's posing as these charities, or we don't even know what they're going by because we haven't heard of them yet. So if people get those calls, it's really important that they take down the information. So one, that where the call came from. So if they have a phone number, we can look to see if that's an active phone number. Two, who they're speaking with, and then to get the name of who they say they're representing. So we can look into that to make sure whether it's an actual legitimate charity or a scam.
One of the other questions that you might ask is also how much of my donation actually goes to the relief effort.
Absolutely.
One of the things, when I worked in Washington, the Secretary of State there on their website actually has a guesstimation of how much of a donation actually goes to what the cause that the charity is supporting. And we've looked at some, especially some of the veterans charities, that as little as 3% actually goes to the charity.
Yeah, even, like you say, relatively well-known charities, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to check with that. Here's something I'm looking at from this tip sheet here. As hurricanes near landfall, scammers snap up internet domains mm-hmm. featuring the storm's name and words like help and relief. Does that happen in Montana too, Marcus?
When you start to see everything's done online, I mean, it may not be that the person that created that domain is located in Montana, or even that the natural disaster is happening in Montana. But with that, where you can go to the webpage and make those donations, absolutely. I mean, that's affecting consumers nationwide.
What kind of recourse, outside of reporting it, can consumers expect in these sorts of things?
As far as the nonprofits, it really depends on where they're located. So our office handles like investigations into charity fraud. So a report would need to be made to us. If they're operating out of the state of Montana, they can still report to us or to the other Office of Consumer Protection Agency. Oftentimes with these scam operations that are nonprofits, you'll see where multiple attorney general's offices will sign on to multi-state and go after the bad actor that way. There's investigations also that are done at the FTC level regarding these nonprofit charities as well, or scam nonprofit charities.
One of the other things that I think is really important for people to realize is that if you're getting a phone call from one of these charities and it and your caller ID says it's a 406 number, don't believe it. It might not be from 406. It might be from South America. It might be from Brazil. It might be from Europe. It could be from anywhere.
Marcus, along with this, how do we protect ourselves from getting those kinds of phone calls?
that's the million-dollar question right now. You know, that's scams and with the fraudulent phone calls, robocalls, you know, we're seeing that there's over around 5 billion robocalls made a month, and of those robocalls, half of those are scam related calls. So most importantly, like Al said, was you can't trust your caller ID, that the phone number or the name that appears on your caller ID is actually who's contacting you. But if you have access to, if they're coming in on your cell phone and it's a smartphone, you can download different applications that help lock some of those calls. And the FTC has done different reports on what they feel are the most effective call blocking applications, and they have a paid list. So what would cost you money to pay for, or a free application list that you can look at to do that. So that will cut down on some of that. But unfortunately, right now, there's not a foolproof plan to stop those.
One of the unfortunate things also is that caller ID is a great service. However, one of the exceptions to businesses that have to not call you if you're on caller ID is charitable organizations. So that's one of the reasons why it's a hot place for cons to go.
I want to come on back after a break here and also throw out the word FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, too, because they are always out in these types of settings, and they're also, I suppose, a word that people will throw out there to try and entice you to believing a fraudster. So we'll come on back with more Fraud Watch Friday here on Voices of Montana. I was understanding, too, that this might have been related to insurance, Marcus. And so I'm going to go off of that and talk about how, if you are working with an insurance agent, you can proceed maybe with a contractor that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, your insurance agent will have more information or will be able to have recommendations who they request. But again, if they request somebody or they give an option of a couple different contractors, you can take that information and contact the Office of Consumer Protection, and we can let those individuals know if there's any complaints against those companies, so they have that before they make their decision of who they're working with. Now, if they think that there's some sort of insurance fraud or another component of that built into the complaint that they have, an additional resource would be to contact the Montana Auditor's Office with the securities and insurance and talk to somebody on the insurance side to lodge a complaint as well.
That's where you were going, Al.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, I appreciate that. Are we seeing these cases filter in right now already?
Yeah. I mean, we see cases come in or complaints come in all year long, but we start to see more and more during the summertime, but typically it takes some time before. So you may hire the contractor in May, but you may not realize that there's an issue because there's been a lack of communication, or they've just completely walked off the job, or you start to see the asphalt cracking. You may not see that for 6 months down the road. So We do see some complaints coming in now, but we'll oftentimes the fall will be a big season for us to receive complaints as well.
Interesting. Hey, Marcus, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Again, if folks have questions, that toll-free number is the best place to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, either the toll-free or the 406. They can also send us in written letters to 555 Fuller, Helena, Montana, 59601. We do take letters, or they can contact us at contactocp@mt.gov.
Gotcha. Thank you for being here. You know we're working to put you out of a job. I hope you're okay with that.
If there's nobody getting scammed, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's what people used to say to me when I was in law enforcement, and I was hoping they were going to work me out of the job, but they never did.
Marcus Meyer, thanks. We'll catch up with you again. Have a great summer.
Thank you.
Same to you, Al.